Does the agenda need radical revision? Well, no, not exactly. All of the things that we've been talking about for a long while are still important and still relevant. I think really what's needed is more urgency and more action. That's what's going to make the difference. There are a lot of challenges out there. We need to address them, and we need to address them quite quickly if we're to actually help poor people get out of poverty.
Another food system is possible. The agenda needs to change to be able to realise that and to be able to support an agriculture that beats to the drum of biology.
Does the agenda need radical revision? No, it doesn't need radical revision, but yes, it does need some rethinking. There are things that we need to turn more attention to, more on agricultural research, find a way to guide the biofuels and understand carbon footprints.
In autumn 2007, the Overseas Development Institute, in collaboration with the Future Agricultures Consortium, hosted a series of events entitled Future Agricultures, From Broad Themes to Practical Policy. These investigated a policy agenda for agriculture and rural development, developed in the early years of this century and recently summarised in the World Development Report for 2008, which was the first in 25 years on agriculture. What is this agenda, and what does the agenda say? Steve Wiggins, research fellow at the Overseas Development Institute and member of the Future Agricultures Consortium, explains.
And that agenda says that agriculture is important, that it's been neglected in the past, it needs more attention. We'll need intensification, more research, more irrigation, getting markets to work. But at the same time as we work on agriculture, the rural non-farm economy is important, urban-rural links are important, and we need to find productive ways to engage that part of the policy agenda in poverty reduction.
For the final event in the event series, four experts offered their views on whether or not new challenges, including climate change, biofuels, and the rise of China and India, necessitate a radical revision of the agenda outlined by Steve. For Patrick Mulvaney of Practical Action, the very reasons for the rise of the existing agenda mean that a radical revision is necessary and desirable.
Growth, for some people. New technologies, particularly those that can be appropriated and are appropriated by corporations. Market penetration for industry and for industrialised countries' markets. And essentially paradigm maintenance, which is to put this on the agenda to do research, to look at the ways of developing agriculture in ways that does not actually change the power balance. So that's one thing that's going to put it back on the agenda. The second is the dysfunctional food system that we've got, which with hunger and increasing obesity and type 2 diabetes is one of the most rapidly increasing pandemics in the world. And thirdly, the climate change issue, which is fueling a lot of thinking about what is possible and what is necessary in terms of agriculture and agriculture production. Agrofuels, a key issue, summarised by Simon Clew myself as being the last gasp of industrial agriculture. But certainly the greenhouse gas impacts of industrial agriculture are very large and something needs to happen. So these are issues which put it on the agenda and I suppose illustrate or precipitate the kinds of changes that are necessary, in the sense that it's not possible to have business as usual. Changes are necessary, and they will be forced upon us. And indeed, an intensive fossil fuel-based type of agriculture in a planet that is going to be short of oil in the future and going to be warming is not an option. And so there has to be a change.
Climate change was a theme picked up by all speakers. However, for Duncan Green of Oxfam and Richard Moberly of the UK Department for International Development, global warming does not change the policy agenda. On the contrary, it makes its implementation more pressing.
Much of the agenda is actually the same agenda, but much more urgent. And I think the reason it's become more urgent is because we probably have a window of opportunity to turn agriculture into lasting development, but that window is shutting because of the impact of climate change. Much of the tropical regions of the world are going to become more arid, and it's going to become harder to use agriculture as that springboard to development, which so many countries have done in the last 50, 60 years.
The big challenge out there, of course, is climate change. What we need to be thinking about is how to actually help farmers in Africa make use of some of the opportunities that are also out there. We've seen rising prices for food and for other commodities. This presents some opportunities, as indeed does the whole issue of urbanisation. There are lots of markets out there, but we need to connect the poor farmers to the markets. I guess the other thing that's going to be really important over the next few years is how we help farmers to deal with risk, and how we help rural people and poor rural people deal with risk. There's going to be a lot more variability and volatility out there. We need to give them the means to be able to cope with that and to continue to develop and hopefully move out of poverty.
There could also be some opportunities for agriculture in mitigation of climate change.
We will probably find in agriculture a demand for carbon audits to understand what the carbon footprint is of different production systems. And it may mean that there's more funds on offer for carbon sequestration within agricultural and other natural resource systems that are good at locking in carbon.
But what other challenges exist? Steve Wiggins again.
Rising energy prices as oil prices push through $100 a barrel, the associated demand for biofuels, and the rapid growth of the economies of China and India. The effect of these is going to be to push both the demand and the supply curves upwards for agricultural products, thereby resulting in higher prices. We've seen prices fall for staple foods over the last 30 years. They are now going up by 10, 20, 30%, depends on different predictions into the future. This is likely to have a heavy impact on the world's poor, including the rural poor, many of whom are net buyers of food. But for those people who are relatively rich, for consumers in the more developed countries, the costs of additional food will be more or less trivial. So the agenda really that higher food prices present for the rural poor is that of increasing incomes. In the medium term, we hope we can do that through pro-poor economic growth. In the short run, it may need income transfers to compensate people for higher prices. Another important implication here is that if food prices are higher, then there is an even bigger incentive to invest in agricultural research. Returns to agricultural research look good at today's prices. They will look a lot better if prices go up, making food cheaper once again.
In contrast, Patrick Mulvaney of Practical Action argues that these new challenges require new approaches that are better placed to assist farmers in adaptation.
It's going to require much greater diversity in the production system. Agricultural biodiversity, which is the basis of agriculture, that diversity is decreasing, but it's most essential to keep that diversity alive and in situ so that they can adapt to changes and become more resilient. That underpins a system of agriculture called agroecology, which is very much working with nature and importantly can adapt in the face of future changes. And in order to have that kind of system, you need to be able to facilitate exchange between communities, countries and continents, particularly of seeds and livestock breeds, and something which is inhibited by intellectual property rights, to look more at collective rights to resources and see how to strengthen those, protect markets, and to have regulation of industry that is trying to undermine all of that. I would just suggest that the food sovereignty policy framework, with its six principles, will start to redress the power imbalance. It will put more power in the hands of food providers. It will bring food providers and consumers closer together. It will have a type of agriculture that focuses on food. It's one which strengthens local knowledge and skills, and one which works with nature. Coming as it does from the farmers' movements itself, is something which is deeply rooted in what is possible and desirable. Indeed, those coming from the African continent have said in the Nyelani 2007 Forum for Food Sovereignty that Africa can feed itself if the ways of colonialism could be removed and the pressures coming from industrialised countries could be taken away and African agriculture could be protected.
One area of particular pressure on agricultural systems at present and a subject of much debate internationally are biofuels. To finish this podcast, here is Steve Wiggins with a plan on where and how these could assist in poverty reduction.
We need to avoid policy foolishness, and the case of biofuels gives us one of those. The best way perhaps to produce biofuels, is to engage the poor where there are, where labour and land are underused, somewhere like Eastern Sierra Leone, for example, which is excellent for growing oil palm, which is a very efficient feedstock for biodiesel. It would be great to get a biodiesel industry going in Eastern Sierra Leone, a place with chronic youth underemployment, which has led to civil war in the past. Instead, what we're seeing in the world is we're seeing some of the best land in the world for forest being stripped in Indonesia to be planted with oil palm plantations. We're seeing ethanol subsidies in the USA displacing maize for human food or for animal food. These are not really the right options, but if you leave it to the market with no leadership, no intervention, these are the most likely outcomes at the moment. Better use of biofuels to help the poor, to reduce environmental impact, will take some act of leadership by the public sector at some point.
If you would like further information on any of the issues described in this programme, visit www.future-agricultures.org or www.odi.org.uk/agriculture.